Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Hi, I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director at Assure Women's Center in Omaha, and you're listening to Life Matters. As churches across the country celebrate Sanctity of Human Life Month, we're featuring a special series of interviews with pastors who are leading the congregations to champion the value of every human life, from the womb to eternity. Today, I'm joined by Pastor Kurt Berman, Senior Pastor at Harvest Alliance Church in Minden, Iowa. Kurt has been in ministry since 2009, serving in various pastoral roles before being called to lead Harvest in 2017. Under his leadership, the church has continued to grow as a light in its community, serving families from Minden, Neola, Avoca, and beyond, and living out its missions to make disciples for Jesus. Pastor Kirk, thank you so much for joining us as part of our Life Matters Sanctity of Human Life series.
Thank you, Toni. I'm glad to be here.
So before we dive in, could you share a bit about yourself, maybe your background, your family, and your ministry?
Sure. So myself, I come from Ohio, and we moved here probably 8 years ago in the summer following the call to serve in the senior pastor role, and come from a couple different church backgrounds. I grew up Catholic, and then after I got married, went into the Alliance denomination, and then served in some non-Alliance churches, and then when I got the call to come out here, it's just been a whirlwind of events, and I say that literally, yeah. As our church had been hit by a tornado in 2024. Mm-hmm. And then, after we were here a year, my wife was diagnosed with cancer, and then she passed away a year after that. Mm-hmm. We have four kiddos and still homeschooling through those times, and currently I am seeing a wonderful woman of God named Andrea, so that's been good to see how God has been redeeming and healing some of that from the grieving times.
Yeah, as a staff, we've prayed for you in those seasons, whether it was when your wife was diagnosed with cancer, as well as when your church was hit by a tornado. And so just know that that's something that we do as a staff. We pray for a ministry partner every week, and so you're church has certainly
come up often, I'm sure.
Well, we also had a staff member that was at your church as well, and you all have been, you know, faithful supporters of Assure for a bit. So,
I think you're all advocates as well.
Yes,
Crystal Rodenberg is one of them. So it's been a nice partnership over the years for sure.
You definitely are on our radar. So,
yeah.
What originally led you into pastoral ministry, and how has your calling evolved over the years?
Yes, that's a good question. Kind of just following the call. I had led Bible studies and some small groups. My wife and I were leading a young adult small group, and that was nearing the end of its time as all of us were starting to have kids, and it was just going to get kind of crazy. And I can remember one of the guys asking me if I had ever thought about being a pastor. Mm-hmm. I just kind of laughed it off and was like, no. Yeah. You know, and I prayed through that next week, and in that week, the Lord recalled to mind a conversation I overheard of my grandpa and my parents, and he was saying he could see me being a priest one day. Mm. And I just laughed that off. I was like, no. I like girls. I don't want to be celibate. Stop. I was probably 13 at the time when he had said that. And then in that same week, my wife came home and she said, hey, I just got approached at the grocery store and was asked if I was a pastor's wife. It's like, huh, that's kind of interesting. Hmm. And then the next day, a seminary, just kind of a cold calling, asked if I would be interested in taking classes. I said, well, you know what? I need to have a meeting, I think, because the Lord's definitely calling me. And early on, I started with youth ministry, and my passion was for marriages. Mm-hmm. I wanted to develop strong marriages within the communities and the body. And you know, I had wondered, I was like, all right, but why am I in the youth ministry, Lord? I want to work with families. I want to work with young people and stuff. And the Lord just, he said to me, he's like, what better way to have strong marriages than starting them off right with the youth? And I was like, well, I can't really argue that too much. So I served in that capacity for 7-8 years. And then when I got the call to senior ministry, we prayed for that for a year, knowing that it would probably take us away from our families. And yeah, within a year, we were moved out to Iowa. So
good.
Yeah.
I talked to someone recently and they talked about interventions and how God just, you know, those little events that happen.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've had several to kind of get you on
yeah.
the path.
No, he is definitely faithful for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Just, absolutely.
You got to be obedient when that calling comes and you absolutely. See how he opens the doors. It's amazing.
Listen and obey. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about Harvest Alliance Church, its community, your mission, and what you're most passionate about as a congregation?
Yeah. So I think, you know, we're a small rural church in Minden, Iowa, a town of like 600 people. Congregation's about 75, 80 people. And we are a very giving church. Honestly, we are very strong in terms of giving back to communities, giving back to organizations. We have a strong passion to see the gospel go to the ends of the earth, knowing that, you know, our mission field starts as we leave those doors, and we try to encourage that with all of our people. Mm-hmm. So especially over this last year, I've heard a lot of different gospel sharing and opportunities that people have had in the workplace, in their neighborhood, and it's just, there's an excitement around yeah. that. So it's really a strong discipleship style that we do there.
That's good. I think about I work in a Christian organization. And so I'm always challenged when, you know, people say, where are you sharing the gospel? I'm like, it's a struggle sometimes because I'm in a workplace that I don't necessarily get to share the gospel because my staff all believe already.
Right.
But I'm always challenged myself, what about neighbors, those things. And so it's great that your congregation is faithful in trying to do that.
Yeah.
That's good. So when we talk about the sanctity of human life, what does that mean biblically and theologically to you?
Theologically, you know, I think of life as a gift from God. You know, I really look at Genesis 2 and how he breathes life into us. And then when I combine that with the fall, like we use his breath and we cursed him with it. Mm-hmm. So because the wages of sin is death, we owe him that breath back. Mm-hmm. Like that part of sacredness, that part of divinity, that he gives us life. Mm-hmm. You know, Acts 17 talks about it's in him. In him we live, we move, we have our being there. So it's one of those things to where all of life is sacred. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, it's all over in the Bible. Yeah. You know, you have your go-tos, obviously, with your Genesis 1 and 2 and Psalm 139, like I said, Acts 17. But there's so many other verses
yeah.
where, you know, Jesus comes and he offers us life and life abundantly. Mm-hmm. You know, not just the humdrum, let's get through the work week. But no, you have a joy
yeah.
about you. And every day is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, as through my experiences and what I've gone through, it's mm-hmm. a different perspective. As you grieve, as you experience close loss like mm-hmm. that, you don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
You know, you're not promised tomorrow. So you live for today and what God has given before you.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
So how do you communicate to your congregation that life at all stages is sacred and created in the image of God?
Well, first off, like I said, you just kind of teach through scripture. So we usually do that. We're not very topical. We just go through the books of the Bible, but you lay down those foundations of who God is, the authority of the word. And then when you come up with different issues that people could debate or waffle against, we understand that's the word is what we stand on. So as you teach through the word, it's naturally going to come out. And then you stand firm, you know, in those times of where justice needs to be held, where you need to have grace, where you need to have truth come through. So every day, again, is that opportunity to show those values that are found within the word of God.
Okay, good. Do you have any favorite scriptures? You mentioned a few a minute ago, but do you have any
yeah.
other foundational scriptures that you tend to cling to when it involves life issues?
Probably, you know, Psalm 139
yeah.
is always a big one. And then Jeremiah is another one.
Before I knew you?
Yes, before I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Acts 17 was just kind of fresh because we're going through Acts for me.
Yeah.
So as I was preparing for this, it was like, man, that's a good one right there.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, generally the 139 is a very big go-to.
So what would you say to someone who struggles to reconcile God's sovereignty and compassion with the reality of abortion in our culture today?
Yeah. So for me, a lot of times it depends on who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
If I'm talking to somebody that would understand the term God's sovereignty,
yeah,
I would ask for definitions. Mm-hmm. What do you mean when you say God's sovereignty? Because the way I use God's sovereignty isn't that he is a puppet master controlling everything, but because of sin, because of our decision to disobey God, we have that free will to choose evil and to perform heinous things. So it's not that God is controlling it or causing it. He allows some of those things, unfortunately, in order to draw people closer to him. You know, what you meant for evil, I can bring out good, yeah. You know, and it's one of those things to where when you're having those conversations, to me, I ask questions, I get behind what the person's asking, mm-hmm. and try to figure that out so I can root it out and then bring in the truth of the word and the grace of Christ into those types of conversations.
That's good. I think sometimes working in a pro-life environment, people think you have all the answers to every scenario. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know what we know, but that's where you really have to be led by the Lord to mm-hmm. know how to speak to that particular person that's asking those questions, because what might suffice for you may not be the same answer right. that someone else needs. And so I feel like when I'm in those situations, I really try to listen to the Lord and, like you said, just kind of ask questions of them to see where they are and have a dialogue, and not just a definitive, this is the way it is.
Right.
Because that doesn't really do a ton for people. It drives them away.
It can. It puts up defensive walls in a hurry. And then you're trying to win an argument rather than a soul. And that's kind of where, I mean, I've had to grow mm-hmm. in that, you know, early in ministry for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of it was trying to win an argument and being right. And whoopee, what do I get for that? You know, that person no longer is a part of the conversation because I've offended them or because they're just hardened against that.
Absolutely.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. Join us throughout January as we honor every precious life. You can invite a speaker for Sanctity of Human Life Sunday or request free digital materials for your church's use. We also look forward to 40 days of prayer, February 18th through March 29th. Be part of this united season of intercession. Visit firststeptolife.com for more information.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha. If you're just joining us, we're in the middle of our Sanctity of Human Life Month series, where we're talking with pastors about the church's calling to celebrate, protect, and defend life. Today, we're hearing from Pastor Kurt Barman of Harvest Alliance Church in Minden, Iowa. In your experience, how does understanding God's design for life impact the way believers view difficult or unsupported pregnancies?
For me, I think... Well, I think it's kind of like what we just talked about, too. I've seen some very different views on that. Yeah. Some that are not affected by it will have a biblical hardline stance of like, nope, this is absolutely cannot have this, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a very rigid stance mm-hmm. with very little empathy or compassion to enter into the conversations. And then I've seen the other side of that spectrum where it's, well, it's the whole truth and love debate and that spectrum to where it's all let's help. But let's sin no more. Where's the truth that's being offered as well? So I think that there's a balance in between that. Mm-hmm. It's like, as you said, and through some of these other questions that I've kind of will answer, it's a lot of that conversational part and that connection with the mm-hmm. person that's, I think, very important.
Yeah, that's good. I was thinking about when you first started talking, I was thinking about empathy. And I think sometimes people mean well mm-hmm. because they're telling you what the Bible says. They know, you know, life begins at conception and they very strong pro-life. But I think sometimes we lack empathy, not to excuse someone's behavior, but to understand why they're thinking about the decision that they make.
Yeah.
And so often when I'm speaking to people, I try to get them to realize, Well, put yourself in that young lady's position. You know, maybe she feels like boyfriend will leave her. Dad might put her out. You know, she might lose a scholarship. And so, once again, not to excuse the thoughts that she's having, but to understand where she's coming from. And I think if we can understand where they're coming from, then we can speak to that, which would encourage them to think, okay, this, I don't have to go that route. I have other options.
Right.
And so just being empathetic to see where she's coming from, hear where she's, what she's walking through, that helps us to show her a little more grace and opens the door for her to receive the truth about life options and then make a decision for life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's important. In today's culture, what do you see as the local church's responsibility in standing for life?
Well, I mean, obviously from the church's standpoint, we want to teach the truth. We want to teach the sanctity of life for sure. I think it's important to come alongside of organizations such as this to be kind of the arms of the church in the sense to where we are united with the same purpose and you guys are able to specialize in certain things that we may not be able to. So we want to support behind those types of things. Mm-hmm. So finding those local options, I think, are important as well. You know, as I was thinking about this too, back in Ohio, I was like, well, did we have something like a Sure? You know, we had different houses that would help after the baby was delivered and things like that. But, you know, this was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I'm like, I don't know that I would have had those resources available to me. So it's important to know what's around you as well in those regards. And I think that for the church to be able to come alongside shows what they do value. You know, you learn through the politics of church, just follow the money and that's where you're gonna, that's what you support. That's what you value. You know, with us, I think probably 40%, 30 to 40% of our budget goes to mission type work and things like that. So it's important to know what we're trying to support and how we're trying to get the gospel out there. So
that's good. So we talked about empathy a little bit, just a bit ago, but how do you balance addressing life issues in a way that is both compassionate and true feel from the pulpit? Maybe that includes empathy, but how do you as a pastor balance that?
Yeah. So, I mean, some of them, you know, you'll have some topical sermons for sure, especially in January and Right to Life Month. You might have an added emphasis with that. I think giving time in our announcements or other things, you know, of course, I'm thinking back to when we had a church building, like we would have pamphlets that were out. We would have people that would come and speak on some of these matters. We would advertise if there was certain walks that were going on. You know, from the pulpit, you want to relate what you're reading to life, to what matters, to what we should value. Again, obviously, when you're thinking of a sermon, you're relating everything back to Christ. Yeah. You know, that's primary. Yeah. But when we're talking about the importance of life and when we're going through those passages, when we come up, you know, it's almost Advent season when we're doing this recording, you know, we're going to hit hard Luke 2 and Luke 1 and understanding the value of how Christ came in the form of a baby and the importance of that. So, you know, you hit hard when you can.
Yeah.
And at the same time, through life, through the different situations through the year, things will pop up. And you just, again, like you said, you have to have discernment of when to speak and how to speak too. Yeah.
So, Pastor, I feel like sometimes the church is a little quiet on the issues of life. I grew up in church, and I can honestly say I never remember a message about life. If maybe it's just the church I went to, not that we weren't pro-life, but I don't recall any messages about life. How can the church avoid being silent or passive on this issue without being political or divisive? Because I think sometimes, I don't want to say all pastors, but some pastors believe it's a political issue and it's something that they don't want to talk about.
Yeah. No, and that's a good question. I think that, like I said, with January, it's a little bit easier to focus in on in that regard. If you're doing a separate series or a topical series, it's easier with that too. to encourage pastors. I think a lot of times it goes to the culture of the church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're not immersed in those types of things, then it's not really on your radar. Mm-hmm. Now, how you get it on your radar, I don't know. Sometimes it's advertising from an organization like yours to help jog, you know, this might go into other questions later on. But, you know, for me, when I first came here, we were invited to the banquet by Nancy and Mike, and because they had gotten a table. And so I was introduced to the organization and to what you guys were doing. And of course, yeah, let's partner. Let's do what we can. The next year, the church, because that table was paid for by Mike and Nancy. The next year, I think we bought a table. Well, the sign up got too much. So let's buy another table. Sign up still got too much. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we're up to 3 tables a year that it allows us for that time to get our people in front of the message. Mm-hmm. Not saying that it's not there from the pulpit, but at the same time, it's giving them opportunities to know a little bit more local, to understand what our mission support is going to and how to get involved. Mm-hmm. And like I said, so there's been several volunteers that have come from the church because of that. Right. So I think that it's, for some of it, it is maybe an apathy or a lukewarmness to the issue, to where if it's not in front of them, then it's hard. They don't see it as a need to address.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It absolutely does. I love where you talked about bringing them to the banquet or introducing them to the topic. I hadn't really thought about it. It's just not on your radar. Not that it's not important and people don't talk about it. It's just not on your radar. If you have an experience, maybe a girl going through it.
Right.
Or a couple going through it. And it's not always just a girl. You don't know to talk about it. I hadn't really thought about it from that perspective.
Well, and then the other side of that is through testimonies of women that have gone through an abortion.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might be riddled with guilt or have a real brokenness still. Mm-hmm. So to be able to talk through some of those topics and bring healing into those, I think is important as well. For me, I've touched on those topics in terms of abortion and healing. I do a lot of it more vaguely in terms of, not everybody's had an abortion, but maybe somebody's had some drug use. Somebody's had a divorce. Somebody's had an affair. So it's trying to bring people to Christ by using those types of examples for that connection. And as you are more open with that in the pulpit, it might bring a connection between you and your people to where they can feel a little bit more vulnerable and open up and confess or say, I've been struggling with this.
Yeah.
And then we can seek help and get counseling or go to the Word together and find Christ in that.
That's good. To me, it sounds like cultivating a culture of grace and support for people, not just that have had abortions, but other things in their past as well. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, how do you do that? But I'll say this. One of the reasons I enjoy going to a church and talking about the work of Assure is because I get to talk about perhaps if someone in the audience has experienced an abortion. And I think once again, because we're not always talking about those issues. There are women that are suffering in our pews that have experienced, you know, abortion, and they're struggling or dealing with the guilt and shame of something they did years ago. And so just by bringing it to the forefront and saying, hey, you know, there's forgiveness, there's, you know, grace, God wants you to be healed. I don't think I've ever spoken at a church when afterwards someone didn't come to me and say, you know, 20 years ago I had an abortion. And then I can say, have you gone through a, you know, post-abortion healing or something to that effect, so that they can be set free. And perhaps they come back and, you know, be a volunteer at some point. Would you share one final word of encouragement or prayer for those listening who feel called to engage more deeply in this mission?
Yeah, I think if you are wanting to be engaged, have a phone call just to see what you can do to help out. Everybody, again, is gifted differently. I can remember there was an older widow in our church that every Sunday he'd be like, I don't know why I'm still here. I mean, he's in his late 80s, early 90s, and I don't know why God still has me here. I can't do anything. Well, when my wife passed away, he was the one that checked in on me and said, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And I knew I couldn't get away from that question because it was a deeper, how are you doing?
Yeah.
So, and I, at his funeral, I shared that with his family, that was very impactful to me, because even though he thought he couldn't do anything for the Lord, the Lord used him in mighty ways.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if you have a heart for this type of mission, take that step of faith and move forward. You know, I think of Isaiah 6, for those different moments where God has that calling on your heart, will you say, here I am, Lord, send me. And then you have to step out in obedience and see how he shows up.
Yeah, good, good. So in closing, where can listeners learn more about Harvest Alliance Church?
Well, our website is harvestchurchminden.org. And yeah, we have that website and then our Facebook page as well. And then in January 18th, is our going to be kind of our launch date for our new building.
Nice.
We'll be in Minden, Iowa. So you can come out for a service there as well.
Good, good, good. All right. What a meaningful conversation, Pastor Kirk. Thank you so much for sharing how God is working through Harvest Alliance Church and for reminding us that the church's role in championing life begins with living out the gospel every day. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Tony.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. Join us throughout January as we honor every precious life. You can invite a speaker for Sanctity of Human Life Sunday or request free digital materials for your church's use. We also look forward to 40 days of prayer, February 18th through March 29th. Be part of this united season of intercession. Visit firststeptolife.com for more information. That's firststeptolife.com. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.